Nyla Boodoo, host of The 21st. In the State of the Union address last month, President Obama announced a moonshot to cure cancer. We haven't yet heard very many details about what that would entail, other than congressional budget requests of $755 million in the 2017 budget. Closer to home here in Illinois, Dr. Stephen Bopart is one of the many people who could help make that moonshot to cure cancer a reality. He's both a medical doctor and the Abel Bliss Professor of Engineering, looking at biomedical imaging and bioengineering at the Beckman Institute. And one more title we're adding to that this morning. The University of Illinois is announcing that Dr. Bopart will be the university director of the new GSK Center for Optical Molecular Imaging. The center is an example of what he calls translational research, moving scientific research into the commercial sector. And he's here to explain a bit more about all of that to us. Dr. Bopart, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So let's start with this translational research. What is that?
So this is really an important part of what we have to do as engineers and scientists. And that is, we develop ideas and technology in the lab, but we really have to translate these into applications that really affect society and impact society. So in the case of healthcare or medical imaging, for example, we develop technologies in the lab, we build systems, we test these in human studies, and really it's bringing that from the bench to the bedside. But what's more important then is taking that from the patient to a population and really being able to transform medicine with our new technology. So this whole process is what we call translational research.
And how important is that process, you think, to the practical reality of achieving an enormous goal like what the president said about a cure for cancer?
I think it's very important because the ideas, there's so many ideas that get generated in the lab by scientists and engineers, but really they have to translate to make that impact in patients and to our lives. And it's that process and efforts such as the Moonshot Initiative is going to be able to provide funds and opportunities and collaborations for getting scientists and engineers to work together with physicians and really make that happen.
So let's talk a little bit about the research that you're doing, some of the ideas you've been working on. What kind of technology do you work with when we're talking about the biophotonics imaging lab at Beckman?
Well, my lab develops optical imaging technologies and then translates those into biological and medical applications. So I have an excellent group of interdisciplinary researchers that develop new systems, new light sources, build systems that can be used then in human studies. And those studies really demonstrate that we're seeing things, we're imaging and detecting things that are new, such as detecting cancer at a very early stage. We then team up with companies or industries to be able to further commercialize and get that out, disseminate those technologies to make it more accessible to physicians and ultimately to help patients.
What exactly is this imaging? What kind of things are you looking at?
Yeah, so we use a lot of different imaging techniques. One of those is called OCT, or optical coherence tomography. And it works a lot like ultrasound, but we send light into the tissue and we collect reflections back and we create images, high-resolution images of cells and structures within tissue. It's almost like taking out tissue and looking under a microscope, but we can do this without taking the tissue out. So with these technologies, we can look at early signs of cancer, such as changes that go on in cells or tissue, or when a tumor starts to develop and spread.
And how important is it to be able to look at those cells at an early stage? How important is it to have that technology?
Yes, yeah, that's so important because a lot of the imaging that is done is typically looking at and finding tumors that are fairly late stage. And we know that cancer develops at the molecular level. So being able to image cells and detect changes in molecules is so important to detecting cancer early. And that's what we've been doing with a lot of our clinical studies with Carle Foundation Hospital in the operating room, detecting cells during breast cancer surgery, or even back at the lab where we're using techniques to find the signaling molecules that cancers will use to spread and metastasize.
No, you're a cancer survivor yourself. I wonder how that impacts the work that you do.
Yes, I was diagnosed with lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, about 22 years ago now. And that was really personally inspiring to me because there it was detected fairly late. And I had to go through a lot of chemotherapy and a bone marrow transplant and really a lot of struggles to recover. But that really motivated me to develop technologies to sense cancer at its earliest stages because we know that detecting cancer early, it's most amenable then to treatment and to cure.
Well, and that was going to be my last question to you. Is early detection, you think, maybe the best path to President Obama's moonshot to cure cancer? Is that really the thing that's going to make this the most viable?
I think it is. I mean, we have a lot of current methods, procedures for screening for cancer. Colonoscopy, mammograms, these are all looking at a normal, healthy population trying to find evidence of disease. But we want to look at new techniques such as looking at the blood, looking at cells or molecules that may be circulating in the body before there's a large tumor mass that develops. So the earlier we can detect that disease, again, the more likely we're able to treat it and cure it.
Do you think that's really a change of a mindset, though? Because I think when the president stands up at the State of the Union address and says, we are going to cure cancer, I think the average American, such as myself, who is not in scientific research, thinks, oh, well, then someone that means someone's going to come up with a drug that's going to cure cancer. But you're saying something very different.
Well, I think there's lots of different avenues that we're approaching. And certainly detection and imaging is one of those. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of others in terms of developing new drugs, new therapies, different ways of monitoring disease, even lifestyle changes. And we really need to look at prevention as well as treatment. And so I think all these will come together under this new initiative. And perhaps it was a bit ambitious to say that this will be cured in 5 years, but we all know it's a very complex problem, but it's one that impacts everyone. And I think we need this type of a push and awareness to bring us closer to our goal.
This is a tough question, but is there a time frame you think where we would see a cure for this?
That's hard to say. I think that we've been working on this as a scientific and engineering community for decades. We've made incredible advances in extended lifespans and an incredible impact. But in 5 years, I think that's a little bit ambitious. It's the direction we need to head. I guess I can't put an exact time frame on there, but I think acceleration of these studies, it is a critical time where our technologies and our ideas have come together that I think we can truly make a difference.
I'm going to ask you two more questions as bonus content for people who are listening online. Your research led you to create two different startups to produce your findings. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Yeah, so this whole idea of the translational research from taking it to the bench to bedside and then from that patient to the population, to really do that latter stage, we need to team up with industry, whether that be through startups or large companies. And what we found is technology that we developed in the lab, we took to early clinical studies, but we formed companies, startups, two of them, out of my own work, to really take it that next mile. And so for one of those, Diagnostic Photonics, is using our OCT technology to detect positive tumor margins during breast cancer surgery. And the problem here is roughly about 30 to 40% of patients that undergo breast surgery to treat their cancers end up getting repeat surgeries because cancer is left behind. And they only discover that days later after pathology has looked at all the tissue sections.
After the patient's been closed up
and gone home. So that's really unacceptable. And so using technology, we can now give the surgeon the ability to have that microscopic view during surgery and being able to make that interventional call whether or not more tissue is needed to be removed in order to get all the cancer. Now, the other technology and startup is for PhotonaCare. And PhotonaCare is going after the other end of the healthcare spectrum, that is primary care. Now, in primary care, I think anyone who's had a child or has been a child themselves has had ear infections. And ear infections are so common. But as we're learning now, there's a lot about this disease we're not fully aware of. And one of those aspects is in chronic ear infections, there's biofilms that form. So bacteria builds up in the middle ear.
When you say biofilms, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, biofilms are really a collection of bacteria, and they produce kind of a film or a sticky matrix that protect themselves. So if they're exposed to antibiotics, then those bacteria may not be killed off, but it may actually develop more resistance to that antibiotic. So establishing a biofilm inside your ear means that those bacteria are not going to get removed just by antibiotics alone. And oftentimes these kids will have repeat infections over 6 or 9 months and ultimately will have surgery to place a small tube and aerate that middle ear. With our imaging technique, however, we can now find the presence of these biofilms without having to surgically look inside to detect those. So what that means is we can, if we find a biofilm early, antibiotics may not work beyond that point, and they may go to surgery earlier for that treatment instead of 6 or 9 months of lost work, lost school, painful ear infections.
Miserable kids and parents.
Miserable kids
right.
and parents.
Oh, that's interesting. So I wonder, do you see yourself as someone who has an entrepreneurial bent as a scientist, or do you kind of still always have your scientist hat on and your further goal is just getting the funding to keep doing your research?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I love being in the lab and generating new ideas and seeing those carried out. But I also recognize that the technology, for it to make an impact, it really has to be commercialized and disseminated that way. And a pure, academic investigator is not going to be able to do that by themselves. And so I do have an entrepreneurial bent. I've started 3 companies so far. But I think that's important to be able to, again, take those ideas and get them out to people.
When we started this conversation, we were talking a little bit about the imaging, and you were explaining the 2 different types of probes that you use. How common are those? How and where, if they're not that common, when will we see them become common?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so these probes, they're in different stages of development. And a lot of the core technology that I helped develop during graduate school is now really a gold standard for imaging the eye. So anyone that really will go to have an eye exam will have an OCT scan as well to look at the retina. So it's been great to see this technology make such a big impact. Now, in my own work here at Illinois, I've been developing different probes for different applications. One of those is imaging in surgery, and one of those is imaging in primary care. And these companies are at different paths of their commercialization. The intraoperative probe, will probably be available commercially in the next few years. It's undergoing larger multi-institutional clinical trials to really disseminate how effective this could be and to convince other surgeons and to show that there really is a need and a benefit to using this.
Dr. Bopart, as you said that this was something you were developing in graduate school, it really made me think you were in a couple different fields, as we said when we were listing all of your titles. How did you end up here, though? When you were in college and in graduate school, did you think this is what you wanted to do?
Perhaps. I'm a native of Illinois, and I was here for my bachelor's degree and my master's degree. It was really during my undergraduate years that I got turned on to research. So I started an undergraduate research project, had a great mentor that exposed me to that, and this was in the area of bioengineering. So I was fascinated between electrical engineering and neurons and how these bags of molecules and salt water could really have electrical properties. So that's what got me interested. And then in graduate school, I started looking at imaging technologies, and OCT in particular. And there I was able to image tissue, but I really didn't know what I was imaging. So I didn't know the cells or the tissue and what sort of optical properties
they had. So you decided to go to medical school.
So then I went to medical school.
Of course, as one would.
To learn more. And so then I finished medical school. But then I realized that there were so many areas of healthcare that technology could have a big impact. And so I did my residency to truly practice medicine, to be in the hospital setting, and realize that, again, there's many different areas and new technologies that could improve our healthcare in so many ways. And after that, I guess maybe the rest is history, but now I'm developing those technologies.
Now he's developing those technologies. He's the new university director of the GSK Center for Optical Molecular Imaging. He's also head of the Biophotonics Imaging Lab at Beckman, at the Beckman Institute, and the Abel Bliss Professor of Engineering. And, of course, as we said, a medical doctor. Dr. Bopart, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.